90.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joy Dara, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
So if you have your Bible with you, will you please stand with me as we read from the book of St. John? The book of St. John. St. John, chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 25. Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25. The word of God reads, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am also the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. While you are still standing, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for another beautiful day. Thank you for your presence in the sanctuary. Thank you, O God, for families, brothers and sisters who have gathered before you. Thank you for your goodness, your mercies in our lives. We know your mercy is new every morning. We don't take that for granted. We say thank you. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for your protection. The word of God says, the angel of the Lord encamp around them that fear you. Lord, we thank you for angelic protection. Thank you for our church ministry, its impact in this community and beyond. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would please speak to our heart one more time. Help our understanding this morning. Bless your people in a very special way. Lord, I thank you for answered prayers. I thank you for miracles in this house. And I thank you that your will be done. We thank you for souls in the kingdom. Use your servant to proclaim your word. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled, How to Grow Your Faith. Not only do we want you to know about faith, we need to know how to grow your own faith. The last week we talked about what is faith. And we share with you that faith is basically taking God at his word. Am I right about that? We also pointed out that it boils down to three things. You and I must know the will of God. We must also know the ways of God. And we need to find courage to walk in it. Am I right about that? And then we share with you that faith is the currency by which you do business with God. So faith is very, very important. Today we're going to go another step further. I'm going to be using one stone to kill two birds. And those two birds are resurrection. And the second bird is faith. The reason why we are talking about resurrection is because today is Communion Sunday. And if you know anything about the communion, it boils down to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see why we're talking about resurrection. Then why we're talking about faith? It's very simple. You cannot have resurrection without faith. Are you all still here? So let's look at those two subjects. Resurrection and faith. What is resurrection? It is basically when something is dead and it's raised back to life. And believe me, you and I need a resurrection in our life. In the passage we just read to your hearing, Jesus said, "He is the resurrection." Don't miss that. So your resurrection, my resurrection, our resurrection depends solely on the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, the reason why we're having communion, why we're celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ, is simply because he died. He was buried. But the Bible says on the third day, he rose again. So he himself demonstrates what it means to be resurrected. But the amazing thing about the Word of God is that if you read the Bible carefully, then you will find out it was not just Jesus. In fact, to be specific, 10 other times in the Word of God, human beings like you and me were raised from the dead. I wish I have time to go through each of them. But you do need to know that there are people in the Word of God that were raised from the dead. See, for example, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 21 and verse 22, there was a widow of Zarephath. Her child was dead. And Prophet Elijah raise that child from the dead. Let the record show also in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 34 and verse 35. You hear about the Shunammite woman. One day her son cried out, "My head, my head, my head." He collapsed and he died. Again, you see a man of God, Prophet Elisha. He was approached and he raised that young man from the dead. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Resurrection is real. Resurrection is taking place in your world even today. You need to be aware of that. My brothers, my sisters, you see again the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, verse 20 and verse 21. One day a gentleman died and they took him to the cemetery. Unfortunately, back then they don't mark their graves. They don't have all the technology that we have today. And so when they came to bury the gentleman, they didn't realize they were digging on an existing grave. And the Bible says when they drop the dead person, it happens to be on the grave of Elisha. And the bones of Elisha caused this dead person to come back to life. What I'm trying to tell you is that the Bible is full of resurrection. One day, Pastor Paul was preaching, and somebody was sitting on the window, and he fell. Must have been a very high window. And he died instantly. The preacher came, lay hand on him, and there was resurrection. Again, you see in the book of St. Mark, chapter 5, verse 41 and 42, there was a gentleman by the name Jairus. He came to get help from Jesus. By the time they got home, the daughter died. They brought him a report and said, "You don't need to bring Jesus anymore. It's over." But Jesus told him, "Don't panic. Don't buy their story. Only believe." And you know what happened? Jesus got to the house, lay hand on that daughter, call out, "Young girl, get up." And again, we experience resurrection. Another time in the book of Acts, there was the story of Tabitha. Some of you call her Dorcas. Very nice woman, did a lot of good things in the community. But she got sick and she died. And people were crying. Everybody was showing the gift and the dress that she made to help people in the community. Again, the preacher showed up and raised her back to life. I'm preparing your spirit to understand resurrection is real. So good to see all my leaders in the house. Amen. Praise the Lord. I really appreciate you all being here. That means a lot to me. I believe if I'm not saying, that's my police juror. If I'm not, amen. I appreciate you, sir. I believe that's my councilman, too. Praise the Lord. We are grateful. We love you in this house. Will you help me thank God for these two leaders in the community? You give honor to whom honor is due. My brothers, my sisters, as I was telling you, God is a God of resurrection. Again, you see it in the book of St. Luke, chapter 7, verse 14 and verse 15. There was a lady by the name Widow of Nain, and she had her only son died on her. They've done the funeral, and they're on the way to the cemetery. They just happened to run into Jesus on the road. And the Bible says Jesus touched the casket. That's a whole sermon by itself. He didn't touch him. He touched the casket. And the person who was dead came back to life. If I were in that casket, I'd kick it open. I might say some colorful word to all of them trying to dump me in the grave. See, I ain't through yet. My message to you is that the word of God is full of accounts of resurrection. Again, in the passage I read to you this morning, the book of St. John, chapter 11, if you look at verse 43 and verse 44, you will see another account of Lazarus, who was dead and buried in the grave for 4 days. According to the scripture, he was stinking by now. But Jesus came and raised him from the dead. In fact, in the word of God, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 through verse 53, the Bible says there was a time when God raised all the dead in Jerusalem came up. That's scary. Can you imagine going to the mall and you run into your grandma? You say, oh, Lord. I'm talking about the power of resurrection. Why am I telling you all this? 2 reasons. Number one, the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwell inside of you. Let that soak in. And I have more good news. If you're a child of God, believe it or not, God is not just raising the dead. God is also a God of resurrection for the living dead. There are some people who are dead already, and God raised them up. But there are people who are walking around. Some of them are listening to me this morning. Some of them are looking at me. You're walking around, but something is dead inside of you. And God sent me to share with you this morning. Whatever is dead in you, whatever is dead in me, God can raise it back to life. Open your mouth, shout amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really the cross of today's message. Believe it or not, there are many things that are dead in us. Some people have dying health. They are sitting next to you, but their health is going down. You will be amazed how many people in the hospital, as I'm talking right now, they are listening. How do I know? Everywhere I go, they stop me. They will say, thank you for telling us about this. Ain't no shame in my game. As I'm standing before you, there are things that are dying in me as I'm talking to you. You better pay attention. God wants to raise back to life whatever is dead in you. You don't have to wait until they put you in the ground. Right now, you can experience the power of his resurrection. Somebody called me. Friend of mine called me. They're in Houston. They're still there. They went there just to for doctor's appointment, and they said, no, you cannot leave. You're dying. Your lung is going down. You have to have a lung transplant. If not, you won't make it. So it's not uncommon to be alive, but you're a walking dead. Some people have their eyes going out on them. A lady was telling me, "Sir, will you please let me know when Louisiana Christian University is having an event?" I said, "Why?" Well, she said, "I can't see, but I can hear. So if you would let me know when you have concert, when you have symphony or orchestra, then I will make sure I come. At least I can hear what's going on." People are literally dying. Some of them are sitting next to you right now. People have their brain dying. You'll be surprised. Even skin. Dead skin. A million makeup will not fix it. You need a miracle. People have dying marriage. The wearing ring, all right, but the marriage is dead. You'll be amazed how many people in the house of God in a dying relationship. This is why I tell you, this is not a church just to feel good. You have to come, prepare your heart to learn the word of God. Some people are in a dead-end job. They're employed all right, but they know that job is a dead end. Some people have their finances dying. Some pastors have a dying church. One of the local pastors called me recently and said, "Pastor, will you please, do you have any of your associates that can take up this church from me?" I said, "Why? I thought you the pastor." He said, "No, this church is dying." So don't think of death until you are in the grave. God wants to raise somebody up today in the name of Jesus Christ. And you need to know, no resurrection can take place without faith. You have to believe that God can raise you up. Are you still here? So how can we get that faith? How can we grow our faith? Every child of God has some level of faith. But the problem is that our faith is so Mickey Mouse that you are not seeing the move of God in your life. How can we build our faith? How can we grow our faith? How can we increase our faith? That's my assignment this morning. I want to show you and me how we can move to what I call ER level. When I talk about ER, I'm not talking about emergency room. I'm trying to get you out of emergency room and get you into God's ER. You say, "Brother Pastor, what is God's ER?" You remember the brother by the name Marvin Saab? He was talking about he never could have made it without God. But then somewhere along the way, he began to talk about ER. He said, number one, I'm wiser. Look at that word, ER ended. He said, I'm stronger. You see where I'm taking you this morning? He said, I'm better. So when I say I want to take you to God's ER, I want you to know how that works. God wants to move you and me to that ER level. God wants us to be wiser. I need an amen for that. God wants you and me to be stronger. God wants you and me to be better. I can do better than Marvin Saab. I can go further to say God wants you and me to be healthier. God wants you and me to be smarter. I get tickled every time. I was in a home going yesterday, and I had to go to another one, so I rushed to the second one, and I walked in, and the whole atmosphere changed. I didn't have to say one word. And there was a preacher sitting next to me. He said, I don't know you. He said, but I am amazed. Who are you? He said, you must be some kind of a smart preacher. God wants to make you smarter. God wants to make you greater. Add your ear to it. God wants to make you better. Are you all see here this morning? God even wants to make you bolder. I believe with all my heart, this year is a season of God's ear. That's what I was telling you early in the year when I say it's a year for you to dominate. When you walk into the house, you are to change the atmosphere. Are you still here this morning? God can make you healthier. God can make you wealthier. God can make you wiser. God can make you stronger. But this requirement, go back to what I'm saying. The requirement is faith. That is the key for you to get wiser, for you to get better, for you to get healthier, for you to get stronger, for you to move from a land of not enough to a land of more than enough. Tell your neighbor, pay attention. One of the things that you have to pay attention for, I want to tell you a few things, and then we'll take communion. Number one, you have to pay attention to where your faith currently resides. Did you hear what I said? I'm talking about the environment where your faith resides. The habitat where your faith currently resides. I cannot do that for you. You have to be honest with yourself and ask the question, what atmosphere is my faith currently hanging out? The problem, my brothers, my sisters, we live in an atmosphere that is contrary to what we're believing God for. Did you hear what I just said? The reason why many of us are not seeing much result, you're asking for one thing, but you're living in a totally different atmosphere. There's a disconnect. It's time for you and me to move to a new address. I say it's time for you and me to move to a new location. Amen. We need to get off insecurity lane. We need to get up. Fear and doubt avenue. We need to move to a new location in God. We need to go to Faith Boulevard. Praise Avenue. Are you all ready to go this morning? I'm trying to help somebody. This is one area of your Christian life that you cannot play with. You need to be living on Faith Boulevard. Are you all still here? The problem, my brothers, my sisters, some of us, we are staying in the wrong address. And the Lord sent me to expose that to the body of Christ. Hundreds and thousands of people will be listening to this message. You know. My message to you and I, there are certain things that can only flourish in certain atmosphere. Are you listening to me? If you don't believe me, think of things like a fish. For a fish to grow and flourish, you have to put him in water. That's the atmosphere. If you put that fish in a desert, that's right, Pastor, that fish eventually is going to die. And that's the problem with many Christians. They are living, but because they're living the wrong address, wrong atmosphere, they are literally dying. Let me give you another example. I'm just trying to make the Bible simple. Think of a flower. If you want to grow a flower, you have to find a soil for that flower to grow. If you put it in your refrigerator, well, don't call me for prayer. Are you still here? The same thing, my brothers, my sisters, with faith. In order for your faith to blossom, you have to put that faith in an atmosphere of belief. Are you still here this morning? The problem, my brothers, my sisters, we say we believe God, but everything we're believing him for, we plant it in fear. Faith cannot grow in an atmosphere of fear. What if this? What if that? You try to figure it out yourself. And so you're going round and round and round about with no result. And I hear the Lord say, we've been compassing around this mountain for too long. It's time for us to move forward. Faith will only blossom in an atmosphere of belief. God wants to plant our faith in an atmosphere where it can flourish. So when I talk to you about how do we grow our faith, the first thing you need to make sure is that your faith is planted in the right atmosphere. Tell somebody I got it. I repeat, faith, your faith, my faith will only blossom in the right atmosphere of believing God. Amen, somebody. Secondly, another thing you need to do to grow your faith is that you have to have a relationship with God. Many of you, we talk to you about examples and examples of resurrection. But the truth be told, before you can talk about resurrection of Lazarus, before you can talk about that miracle, you have to remember that Lazarus and Jesus and Mary and Martha, they had a relationship. Are you still here this morning? The problem with church folks, you're trying to ask God for things, the same God that you never talked to, the same God you never serve, the same God you never worship, the same God you only show up in church when you feel like it, and then you want him to do great things. Let me give you an honest and brutal assessment. You won't get nothing. A double-minded person is unstable. Let not that man, that woman expect to receive from God. You need a pastor that will tell you the honest truth. I could come here and put on a good show for you, but that's not going to help you. How are you going to pray to a God you don't even know as your Lord and as your Savior? How are you going to expect miracle from a God you never talked to all week? Can you imagine me trying to stay in love with Elizabeth and I never talked to her all month? Let me help all of you who are married. Believe me, that woman is already looking for somebody else. Don't look at your neighbor. They don't make pastors like this no more. But somebody needs to tell the truth. We should not be serving God like a hobby. We should not be serving God only when it's convenient for you. Before Lazarus got raised from the dead, the Bible says he and Jesus, including Mary and Martha, all four of them, they were buddies. Question, can God call you his buddy? Now you can see why you're not seeing much miracle. I wish I can brutally tell you some blunt truth, but it will come across wrong. Some things I don't even have to pray for in my life because I am body with God. He just does it. After he's done, then he tells me. That's what the Bible is saying. Before you ask, he will answer you and go ahead of you and fight your battle. I'm trying to help somebody. That's what Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says. He said, how can two walk together, thank you, pastor, except they agree? The problem with church folk, you are expecting great things from God, but you are not willing to walk with God. You are asking him to go to the moon and go to the star and fix this and fix that. But you don't talk to him all week. We have prayer meeting on Friday. You no show. My brother from Maxfield, preacher, come all the way every week. 7 a.m. Sunday morning. You no show. The preacher said, meet me Monday morning. You no show. Then your house, you only pray when you're in trouble. I got some relatives like that. They're probably watching me now. The only time they call is when they're in trouble. Do you really think I answer? Get a clue. I'll tell my wife, you talk to him. I don't have time for foolishness. Don't treat God any kind of way and expect great move of God in your life. It won't work. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you come to church and say, Lord, do it for me. Well, let me tell you, he won't do it. Because you no good. Lord, do it for me. Shut up. You have no right relationship with God. Lord, if you don't do it, it just won't be done. You, I almost, Jesus, help me. I'm trying to help church people. What is the message? Number one, I say, check the atmosphere where your faith is hanging out. Number two, be sure that you have a relationship with God. That's right. Now I've got to take you further and say, feed your faith. Faith will not grow unless you feed it. The problem with church folks, many of you know how to feed your belly, but you don't feed your faith. I was in Southern University in Baton Rouge when the Lord taught me this lesson. I was the president of the Student Bar Association, some big position. You have to run for it and all that. That's another story. And bless God, they gave me a big office, even though I'm still a student. But I hang out with the faculty, you know. And then I have a big aquarium with fish. But I'm so busy, I don't feed the fish. Guess what happened to all of them? The Bible is not complicated. Your faith will not grow if you don't feed it. Your faith eventually will die if you don't feed it. Am I helping somebody? That's why the Bible describes some faith as little faith. I wish I had time to walk you through it. You'd be surprised how many people in the house, you dress good, you look pretty, but your faith is little. But there are some people in the same house, in the same church, that the word of God described their faith as great faith. You know, as a theologian, what troubles my soul, I study everyone that God described as having great faith, and they are not even members of the church. The outsider, I say, Lord, have mercy. Houston, we got problems. Can God describe you as a man or woman of great faith? This is very, very important. So how do we get to that? Let me tell you a few things and we'll take the communion. The first thing you would need to move from little faith to great faith is light. What did I call it? I'm talking about the power of knowledge of the word of God. The Bible called knowledge of the word of God as light. If you are taking note, I've told you about atmosphere. See, the professor in me, I like to make sure my students catch it. I told you about relationship. Then I told you about the need to feed your faith. Now I'm telling you, if you want your faith to grow, you need light. Knowledge of what? the word of God. Your faith would never rise beyond your knowledge. I don't care who pray for you. I don't care who lay hand on you. Stop letting people fool you. You have to know that you know that you know that you know that God is a healer. You have to know that you know that you know that God is a way maker. I'm not talking about positive thinking either. I'm talking about light. Knowledge of the word of God. In case you don't know, every Sunday here at Zion Hill, you all call it church. I call it a feast of light. For 29 years, that's all I'm doing. Sometimes you put some other things on the program. I try to work with you, whatever. We're going to wear hat today. We're going to break down. We're going to march through the. I wish you could open my heart sometime. It's unimportant to me. The only thing important to me is that you know the word of God. Now, if I have to put up with some religion, oh, so be it. I say, well, whatever we need to do to get people to hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It takes light to turn darkness into light. Over there at the school where I teach, Louisiana Christian University, the coach will tell you, sometimes at nighttime the whole stadium is dark. But when they turn on the light, it's like beautiful day. That's what the light of the word of God will do in your life. I don't care what the devil is trying to plant in your neighborhood. When you turn on the light, every cockroach, hallelujah, I feel my help coming out. They got to go. Tell your neighbor, turn on the light, turn on the light. You know why I'm saying this? Because most Christians, I regret to say, they are ignorant about the promises of God. We are too busy having church. But again, I remind you, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, your faith will come, not by your programs. It will come by hearing. And not just hearing anything, but hearing the word of God. Whatever you believe in God for, that thing is strengthened by whatever you're hearing. If you believe in God for a husband, it will be strengthened by what you're hearing. You believe in God for a new job, but I listen to this preacher, man. It will be strengthened. Whether you get a result will depend on what you're hearing. What you hear, the word, you need to be hearing things that you believe in God for. You want a miracle, you ought to be hearing about miracle. You want healing, you ought to be hearing about healing. Are you listening to me? You ought to be hearing the promises of God. Whoever has your ears will control your life. Are you listening to me? Many of you, the person that have your ears is social media. Facebook, Instagram, tactic. You know, this brother will preach the gospel. Whoever have your heels, that's who control. Let me ask you this question. In a 7-day schedule, just ask yourself, what have you been hearing? Or how much of what you are hearing in a 7-day cycle is the word of God? See, many of you, the only time you hear the word of God, that's right, Pastor, when you come to church. Do the math. How many hours in a day? 24. How many days in a week? 7. Multiply that. And then you come to church, and then you tell me, Pastor, you're preaching too long. I wish I'm going to hit you with a baseball bat. But I'm glad I'm not God. I really, every day I thank God. I say, only you can do that job. No, you are not hearing the word. You spend the whole week. You know what we listen to? We listen to gossip. You spend time watching people who are they're ugly, but they're trying to look good. They take picture and show your face and say, oh, baby, you look good. He lying. I'm telling you, she lying. Faith cometh. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Faith cometh by hearing, not gossip, not mess, the word of God. The Lord used my wife to teach me one hard lesson. I've been listening to the news. I put my TV on the news all day. My wife will come and say, turn that mess off. And it took me a while before it sink in. Then I begin to look at the content. And I say, Sister Grace, right, this is nothing but a mess. Yes, I said it. Whether it's Fox, CNN, NMB, BBC, whatever. Don't call me. All right. All I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, whoever has your ears, is your body. And sometimes the only person that have your ear is your beautician or your barber. You go to the barber house. I tell my barber all the time, it don't take but 30 minutes to cut my hair. I don't have no style. Just cut the doggone thing. But they want to keep me there because they want to talk. What do you think about this? This is what's going on in the city. Who is having your ears? Who are you listening to? Your faith must be based on what God said. So this year, flood your gates with the word of God. If you don't hear anything else I have to say, I'm giving you $1 million advice. Flood, you know what I meant by your gate? Your eye gate. Your gate. Thank you. This is a word church. Flood your gates with what God said. You know how I do it? It's very simple. Because I'm kind of a little cuckoo, you know. So I bought me some MP3 of everything Jesus said. And I have my ear plug. I shut out. People always ask, how you know the Bible so much? I just told you. All day, that's all I listen to. I go to bed next to my wife, still listening to the word of God. I wake up in the morning, still listening to the word of God. And I only want to hear what Jesus said. You can never go down. If you flood, that's right, Pastor. If you flood your life, your gates, with what Jesus said. Remember what I'm talking about, how you can grow your faith. Let me say this in conclusion. The Bible says you will know the truth. Guess what the truth will do? It will set you free. You must invest in knowledge. It's all I'm trying to say to you. There are many things that has been written concerning your miracle. Find out. There are many things that have been written in the Word of God concerning your blessings, concerning your healing. Find out. Don't let other stuff distract you. Amen. Let me say one more thing and let you go. Another thing you have to develop is what I call meditation. Yes, sir. What did I call it? What that means is that you have to learn to ponder on what God said. Just think through it. You have to squeeze the juice out of what God is saying. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, put it this way. He said, meditate on these things. He said, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to everybody. Folks will see. They will look at you and say, there's something different about that sister. God is blessing her. God is blessing her home. God is blessing her children. The Bible says, the secret, you got to meditate on what God said. That people will see the profit of your meditation. To meditate means to ponder and to squeeze the juice. Not just to look at something. But you did you know that every religion teaches meditation? In fact, some religion will teach you, you can meditate to the point that your spirit will leave your body. And yet, Christian, ignore it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law. Don't let it depart from you. Meditate upon it. That's right, Pastor. Meditate upon it. You know how often? That's what you just say. Day and night. Be careful to do what it says. Then, what will be the result? You will be successful. Not only will you be successful, you will have good success. Are you all still here? Ladies and gentlemen, meditation gives you more than just information. See, knowledge will only make you aware of a subject matter. But meditation will make you comprehend it. It will make you have a revelation. It will make you have an understanding. So wind may blow, storm may rise. You know in your knowing, you got this. Ladies and gentlemen, some people meditate, but very casually. Most Christians don't meditate. I don't have time now, but one day I will share with you, since we're talking about resurrection, I can tell you many people went to visit Jesus at the grave because he told them he would get up the third day. Disciples came. But they saw nothing, so they ran away. They left. But some women came. But they saw something. Why? Because when they came and they didn't see Jesus, they didn't leave. That's what meditation would do. You stay.